So I thought, man, be a perfect time to just like slide this message in right here. But as you can see, everybody didn't come back. So guess what? You're going to have to tell them about it. Y'all are so quiet. Okay. Take your Bibles. Go to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And I'm really not going to do a whole lot of preaching from there. Most of the meat of the preaching is going to come from 2 Samuel 19, verse 24. We're going to use a really, really rich character to explain kind of what I'm going to be teaching and preaching on tonight. This message is a really real. Our church needs this message. How about that? Our church needs this message really, really bad. I would say just about every church in our country needs this, but I'm not the pastor of every church in the country. I'm the pastor of this church, and I'm absolutely telling you we absolutely need this message, okay? Just because I know you, and I know God, and I know what's going on as far as what's going on right here on the ground. So we absolutely need to do this. And I would title the message, if I could title it, the title really doesn't matter, is how do we come back? How do we come back? Okay. Before I get too far into that, remember the offering plate's out in front of my office. If your tithes and offerings, if you want to give those, we haven't started our offering back up on Sunday night, but we will do that eventually, probably next week. But we'll get back in it the way we get. So if you hadn't got a chance to pay your tithes today, they're out there. So anyway, the comeback. Okay, so we're coming back from a pandemic, right? And we've come back from two deep parts of the pandemic, right? The first one where we didn't know, and the second one was catastrophic here, right? And now this will also be a help to you is if you have to come back, say for instance, if life happens and you get out of church and removed from God, okay? But what I'm preaching from and what I'm coming from and my perspective is the church has never dealt with a pandemic before. Well, not in my lifetime, okay? And not in our lifetimes. So we're dealing with something we've never dealt with, okay? So I have seen over the last probably year and a half of reentry. Reentry has been difficult for some, for all, right? So I'm kind of going to preach about this, and we're going to put our church, that means you, the body of Christ, up on the operating table, okay? And we've got to be able to take a surgery, right? We've got to be able to take somebody messing with us and getting us right because this is important, all right? So Psalm 42. So my heart tonight is to help the church, is to help you, and hopefully some people will listen to the audio, and hopefully if not too long down the road, we'll preach this again on a Sunday morning. All right, so I really want to teach this and put it out there. Psalm 42:1. As the hart, that's the deer, right? As the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Do y'all see that right there? I want you to get this. One way to re-enter the church. One way to re-enter the service of God. One way to re-enter your relationship with God. Your relationship's not broken with God. God still loves you. You're still saved. You're still born again. You're on a track to heaven. But maybe through things of the pandemic, through whatever life throws at you, you haven't been able to corporate worship for a period of time, and you feel detached or removed. Okay? So here's what you're going to do. You're going to come back after Jesus like a deer that pants after the water brook. And listen, I think of this deer differently than just your regular deer, okay? I think of this deer who lives in East Tennessee about this time of the year. Okay. I don't know if y'all know what's going on around this time of the year. But there are hunters sitting on about every tree and tree limb in East Tennessee every morning about sunup, right? And at the same time, all the does are being chased by all the bucks, and all the bucks are being chased by all the dudes, right? So these deer are running for their lives as soon as the sun comes up, all the way until the sun goes down. And for everybody that lives in Bledsoe County, even further. Amen? Y'all get that later on. Even into the dark. But what they do for the moments they can, when they cross a stream or a brook, maybe past the time that they're being pursued, is they drink that water like they're never coming back to that brook again for a long, long time. They're looking at that water and saying, I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to slow down and take all this in again. I don't know where I stand. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm going to drink from this brook because it is good. Amen? I would tell anybody coming back to our church, anybody who's been feeling like they're on the outside, they know, what do I do when I come back? Do I sing? Do I praise? Do I run? Do I shout? Do I take my old office? Do I not take my old office? What do I do? How do I fit in? What's happened? Has the church left me behind? Am I going to be the same person? Or who? What all the new? Why? That really doesn't matter. What matters is God is here and the brook is here and you come and you drink from the brook until God says, here's what I want you to do. Here's the relationships I want to establish in your life. Here's the office I want you to hold. Just drink deep. Just drink deep of me. Just get enough. Just drink from me like you've been running without anything. Because see, that's the way I figured I was kind of like confused. I thought everybody would come back and that's the way it would be. I didn't even think we would have to sing or preach or anything. I thought everybody would just come in and be like, I'm just glad to be here. But then I didn't understand the nature of the attack that we've been under. So God really put this on my heart. Because I want everybody to come back right. God's good at establishing what He wants out of our church and out of our ministry if we'll just come back and make Him the center point and focus of our ministry. Amen? Let me read the rest of this and we're going somewhere. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Listen, he said, I know I'm going to be in the presence of God. I want to be in the presence of Him. My soul thirsteth for Him. My tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And you say, who is saying that? The devil, the wicked, everything that's in me, this world, you're sitting there going, I am on the outside looking in, and they're saying, where's God? Why hasn't He just dried this pandemic up? Why hasn't He just made this all right and all well and let us come back shouting and praising? Why hasn't that happened? Listen, that's not up to us. What is up to us is we have to come. I have made a meal out of my tears. I have been in a place where I have thirsted and hungered for Jesus. I can't figure it all out in a month, in 2 months, in 3 months, in 6 months. All I can do is say, I'm tired of drinking my own tears. I'd rather be drinking that living water. I'd rather be a hold of that. Amen? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. Oh, this is good. This is so rich. I said I wasn't going to preach all this, but I'm sorry. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept the holiday. Oh man, you know what he's saying? What he's saying right there is, I was in the multitude who every time we got an opportunity to go up and worship, I was in the group. And my voice was right up there with all of them. Man, come on. It's just family in here tonight. Do y'all get that right there? There was a time where it was very regular. Everybody was coming to church. Everybody was worshiping. Everybody knew their role. Everybody knew where they fit in. All the relationships were like, oh yeah, that's old sister so-and-so. That's like my sister. That's like my brother. That's like my mom. And that's like my dad at church. Amen? And those are my friends. All of a sudden, pandemic hits and now we don't really know how, right? I hope I'm not the only one that is dealing with this stuff because I see it. I used to be the one. We used to be, hey, I came every service. I was here every time. But now things have changed. Man, you talking about an attack. I used to be in that big multitude. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? My soul is, our souls are damaged. It's not our outward man. Maybe some of us have done good physically. Maybe some of us have done well through the pandemic at our homes. Maybe for the first time we've understood who our kids are and our wives are and our husbands are. But man, our souls have starved. And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and for Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. And you say, what does that mean? Man, there's something deeper to you than just being a human being. See, God put his spirit in you. And that spirit, it must have nourishment. It must be a hold of God. It must be around that. And you know what? That's why you can't get by on just going through the drive-thru, sitting and watching stuff on Netflix, and just hanging out at home with the fam. It's all good, but your soul, that deep part of you, has to be turned on and motivated and encouraged and fed. And that's what's missing. That's what when you come back, you don't know how to come back of this. So I found this rich character. Y'all do this. Go with me over here. 2 Samuel 19. This is one of my favorite characters. And I preached it about 3 weeks ago, maybe four. I preached about Mephibosheth. Y'all remember when he came to the table and he was brought to the table? Do y'all remember Ziba, right? Ziba was his servant. Ziba was the servant that was the go-between between King David and Mephibosheth, and he says there is one child left, but he is lame upon his feet, and he brought him to the kingdom. And Ziba and all of his children and family were to work the properties of Saul, right, King Saul, and then Mephibosheth lived in the king's house, right? Now, where we're going to take this up is what's happened is Absalom has taken over the king. Y'all remember the sword will not depart from your house, David, all that. Now, Absalom, which is the son of David, has came up and he's displaced David. David has went out, right, out of the Mount of Olives, went over the Mount of Olives. And he was running for, he took all of his family, as many people as he could that supported him, because if he didn't, they were all going to be killed. So he goes out on the Mount of Olives and he goes over and he's about to cross over the Mount of Olives, right? I think that's right. Okay, so he gets about right there. Now the kingdom's been overtook and he gets right to the top of the hill. There is Ziba. Ziba stands there and he's got donkeys laden with food, with cheese, with grapes, with wine, with everything. And he's got them all saddled up, right? And when David meets him, at the top of the hill, the first thing David asked is he goes, it's good to see. He goes, what is this stuff? And he said, this is for the king and this is for the king's family. And if where you guys don't faint, the food's for y'all, and you ride on the donkey, because we don't want the king passing away. We don't want the king's family passing away. Sounds great, don't it? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Smart. But then he asked him, he said, Where is Mephibosheth? Where's your lead? Where's your man at? He said, he has been waiting on this day for somebody to come and reestablish the kingdom of his father, that he might reign in Saul's kingdom. Oh man, he didn't even get to explain that, did he? And if you're not careful, you'll read it and you'll think, man, Mephibosheth done turned. He got grace, he got mercy, and he got love. And all this stuff, and now he's been disconnected, and guess what? He's sitting over there, and he's a bad guy, and Ziba's a good guy, because he got to tell his side of the story. But here's where we're going to pick it up. David, because God is on his side, takes back over the kingdom and comes back into the kingdom. In 2 Samuel 19 and verse 24, we're going to pick this up. He comes back, and now Mephibosheth is back, because you got to remember, Mephibosheth is lame in his feet. He's crippled. He cannot make it out of the kingdom. So when he comes back, he does not know. David does not know who's gave him mercy and grace and favor and let him live in the king's house. Now you're saying, how does this tie over? Because I don't want y'all to think this. I don't want this to be obscure. I want it to be very straightforward with you guys. I don't want to be like y'all kind of figure out, like, what is he trying to say? I'm trying to tell you exactly this. This is kind of us separated from the church or separated from God for a period of time, and it's at no fault of our own, but some ways it can start to look weird or feel weird or even look bad. Does that make sense? Do I need to explain that any further? Amen? You can be separated by the pandemic or by certain situations, health crisis, everything. And after a period of time, you feel a certain way about it with your health and the way you're doing. But it can be to some people, you're just out of church. I think, you know what I'm saying? You're just out of church. That's all you are. And after a while, you're still considering your health. You're still making decisions. You're take the shot, don't take the shot, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, go to church, don't go to. I'm preaching to better than y'all are letting on right there. But there's a whole lot to this. It's a dynamic. But then all of a sudden, you know, when you think, well, I'm going to re-enter, but how do I re-enter something that I've been out of for so long that I'm not even really attached to anymore other than I know that's where I belong? Okay, this is the same Mephibosheth as, it's not his fault. He couldn't do anything about it. He has no way of fixing. Let me show you that. But let's see what he did. Okay, can y'all handle that? Let's see what he did, and then we'll talk more. I've kind of got ahead of myself right there, but I don't mean to. Watch this right here, verse 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king said unto him, wherefore wentest thou not thou with me, Mephibosheth? Now that was a question, right? He expected Mephibosheth to go with him. Why did you not go with me? All right. Why did you not? When I was ran out and my family, God, this is so good. When my family was cast out, why weren't you there? You're a part of the family. Okay. Let's go a little bit further. I'm gonna backtrack. I want y'all to get that part. And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. My servant, that's Ziba. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king because thy servant is lame. Ziba said, I'm going to go prepare the donkeys. I'm going to go get them ready. Then I'm going to come back to you. I've got something ready for you. You just wait. He never came back for him. That's what this is saying. All right? He never came back for him. All right? And he has slandered thy servant unto the Lord thy king, but my Lord the king is an angel of God. Do thou therefore what is good in thine eyes. Let's go back. Go back to verse 24 with me, okay? Watch this right here. Mephibosheth has been wronged, lied on, told all kinds of stuff. Now look, he could be confused. He could sit there. Now listen, y'all, let's just jump right in with who Mephibosheth is right now. If that was us, we would be hurt, we would be aggravated, we were frustrated, and we would let our minds run, all right? We would let our minds run. Like, man, if that Ziba, man, I'm telling you right now, golly, I want to kill him. That he's ruining me before the king. I don't get a say-so. My feelings are hurt, my body's hurt. But you know what he did? Instead of sitting there and just stewing in that, he did something that's so amazing. He did what only he could control in his life. You might want to make a big note right there. Do what you can control to show what your character is. Okay, let me show you. Watch. The king, he had neither dressed his feet. Okay, he had to have some people come and they would clip his toenails and wash his feet because he couldn't do that. So when somebody, a servant of his, would approach him, he would say, do not touch my feet. Here's what he was saying. If the king's feet are dirty and he's walking in the dirt and he's living out in the woods, I ain't letting you touch my feet. He can control that. He can't get a hold of Ziba. He can't fight. He can't do a whole lot of things. He don't want to sit there and brood in it. So what he did is he said, just don't touch my feet. I'll let it get out of control. You're going to get out of control. You can get sick. I don't care. My relationship, this is, God, I wish I'll get to my only relationship. The only thing I can do is compare in my relationship to what the king's going through. Amen? I'm going to worship him by trying to put myself in that kind of situation because the king's out there. I'm going to do it right here. I can't go nowhere and I can't do anything, but there's only one thing that I can control. I can control whether you touch me or not. Man, this is so good. Guys, listen, this might be on a deeper level message. This might be past what we're kind of doing right here. But sometimes we do a lot of things, but we don't do what we can control. What would really be best? Amen. Oh, that's a whole good message. I'll do some more preparation and come back on that. Nor trimmed his beard. Do not, that the king has no, he ain't trimming his beard. He ain't doing his mustache. He ain't getting haircuts out there. I ain't getting one here. Do not touch my face. Do not touch my face. Amen. Nor washed his clothes, for the day the king departed and he came in peace. They were like, hey, you got to get good right here. You are beginning to stink. And you need, listen, I'm telling you, there's a whole level there. You are beginning to stink. And you need to change clothes. I don't know what my king's living in out there. And I don't know what my people are living out like they're out there. I don't know what's going on. I have no control. But I have one control over one thing, what I do. And I ain't taking these clothes off. And I ain't getting a bath. And I'm not doing it. Because you know what? I love my king. And that's all I can control. See, I hate to tell you this, but you know what? David, when he said these things, David really didn't have to investigate this at all. That probably told on him when he walked in the room. He was gone for months. He walked in there and he's like, phew. Right? And then he's telling him, I had control over one thing, David. I can compare myself. I put myself in the same kind of detriment that you are. But I was in the palace, but I wasn't going to be comfortable here. Amen? Do you not think that David, now we gotta change out David and we gotta put God there. You not think God can recognize if you put your heart to after his heart and say, look, I don't even know how I'm gonna fit in. I don't even know what's going on. I'm confused, I'm hurt, I can't tell my whole side of the story. It's us versus them and them versus us, and the world's upside down, and it's hard to get back. But praise God, I can do one thing. I can make my heart pursue God's heart. And that's what he did. Verse 28, for all of my father's house were but dead, but men before my lord the king, yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, you're an angel. We know we're talking to God. God, you saved me. You found me when I was wretched and undone and outside. I don't even really belong in the church. I don't really have a purpose in the church. I don't have a calling on the church. Unless you're in it, I don't even belong there. So guess what? We get back to square one. What he began to do, at the moment he got in the presence of the king, he started worshiping the king. He didn't say, hey, can I have my spot back at the table? Hey, if I can I get this and can I do that and can I do this? All he was saying was, from the moment you left until the moment you got back, all I cared about was you. All I was thinking about was you. Because you, without you, all of this is nothing. Church without God, church without Jesus is nothing. I don't even want to go to church without Jesus. I don't want to be a part of the kingdom that doesn't have Jesus in it. He said, I don't even want to be a part of sitting at the table if the only reason I'm sitting at the table is not there. Amen? Boy, I love this, don't y'all? And I'm hopefully doing a good enough job right here and laying it in for you guys to, how do we come back? You come in here seeking God. God, I'm so thirsty for you. God, I'm so hungry for you. That's a desert out there. I'm starving for you. I've missed you. I don't care what you let me do. If I'm a doorkeeper at the house of God, is good. But if I can just sit in your presence, if I can just walk in the courts, I'll praise you. You can establish what relationships go where, what jobs get doled out. That really doesn't even matter. Man, when you really get in love with Jesus, all you really want to do is be next to him. You don't think Jesus can figure the rest of that stuff out? Being honest with you, if you go through the whole Bible, you could really read it. The people that ended up doing great things for God were the first people who just came to him and just poured themselves out to him in the first place. Amen? They just said, I'm nothing without you. lame, sick, blind, dead, deaf. Oh, this is going to get better. I kind of, this is where we want to be. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, go back, verse 29, sorry. And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have thou and Ziba divide the land. Oh, this is good. Ziba was after he was after what was in the king's hands. Amen? You might want to write this down. Big, big word right here. Ziba was after what was in the king's hand. All right? Mephibosheth was after the king's face. The relationship. If you're not careful, you'll be seeking the things of the kingdom and not the relationship to the king. Amen? He just tells him flat out. He looks at Mephibosheth and he says, listen, Mephibosheth, here's what I want you to do. Since this has happened now and I've already gave him my word, I want you to split the kingdom between you two. I want you guys just to half it right down the middle and split it. And this is one of the most beautiful things ever wrote in the Bible. This will tell you the character of Mephibosheth and the relationship that he had. Verse 30, and Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all. For as much as my lord, the king, is come again in peace unto his own house. I don't care. He was in Lodabar. He had nothing. He had no name. He had no establishment, no grace, no mercy, no love, no forgiveness, no nothing. And all of a sudden God pulled him up there and sat him in the king's palace. And when it came right down to it, listen, let's put it right back in context of what we're talking about. When David came back and he would be established, listen, he thought, man, I don't know what he's told him. I don't know what he's done. All I can do is control what I control. I wonder where I'm going to be placed at. God, y'all get this. Just stay with me. Because the condition that his body, where will I be placed at? Right? Okay, all of a sudden, he's down to this last part where he's having a communication back and forth with the king because he's in the presence of the king and he's worshiping the king and he's speaking to the king. So then the king says, here's what I'll do. I'll just have it, what he say, let him have it all. All I care about is you being where you're supposed to be and then I will be where I'm supposed to be. You hear what I just said? Let's put God where he's supposed to be. He's that brook. We're that deer. We're supposed to come in. I'm just going to be honest with you. We probably, for a lack of a better word, we probably need to repent. What I mean is we probably need to go back. Amen? We probably do. We probably need to go back as a people and act like we just came back to church. And we need to come to him and say, I'm just thirsty for you. Because I'm telling you, this is going on all around the country, but it's going on here. We're worried about music. We're about messaging. We're about buildings, which is fine. We're worried about Juana. We're worried about what are they going to let me do or what are they not going to let me do. Here's what we need to figure out. God, I'm starving for you. I'm so thirsty for you. I don't care what we sing, as long as we sing about you. I don't even really care what we sing as long as we're singing about you, and I hope you like it. And if you like it, I hope you just pour out all over us. Amen? And I don't really care who's preaching or who's speaking or who's doing, as long as you're getting it right. Amen? I don't know if I'm going to get to do. I don't even know if I'm going to get to do what I used to do. But it really don't matter. As long as David walked in that room and sat down in his seat, Mephibosheth said, I'm good. Because that man right there brought me out of my mess, brought me out of the situation that I was in, and he knows how to put me in the right spot. If that same God is sitting in the place where I want to put him and I worship him right, he'll put us in the right place to serve in this church, in the right relationships in this church, at the right time in this church. Just come in here hungry. Just come in here and thirsty for him. And that will solve a lot of our problems. That will solve. Matter of fact, we really don't have any problems other than we're trying to come back. And we try to come back, we need to come back to Jesus. That's the word tonight, guys.